Church, our friend and brother Harold Stinger, to the officers and members of the First Mount Olive Baptist Church.
Bless you, God.
And to the deacon and deaconess on this their day.
Bless you, God.
We're extremely delighted and thankful for this rich opportunity to be with you this morning. It took me a little while, but I've now learned that people don't have to be nice. And if they are nice, they don't have to be nice to you. If they are nice to you, you ought to be thankful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful that your pastor was kind enough to invite us to come. I'm a substitute. You're in good company. Norman Smith is one of the great preachers. And in the Baptist Church, we don't have bishops, but if we had bishops,
yes,
Norman Smith would be a bishop.
Amen.
And so to be a substitute for him, I deem that a great honor.
Yeah.
I'm not quite as eloquent and all of that as Norman Smith, so if you can't hear him, you're going to be disappointed.
Praise God. Praise God.
So I'm a substitute.
Right.
John the Baptist.
Come on, tell me.
He said it wasn't about him, but it was about somebody else.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I'm a substitute. Jesus Christ was a substitute.
That's right. Because
You should have been on the cross.
That's right.
He took your place.
Yeah.
I am a substitute. I'm just delighted and thankful to be a substitute. I also want to commend your pastor. I'm sure you already know that you have a tremendous pastor. You know, there are some people you meet along life journey that when you're in your presence, when you're in their presence, you can't wait to leave. You know, there are some people, when you tell them about your vacation trip, if you went to Richmond, they went to North Carolina. If you went to the mountains and you climbed a 10-foot mountain, they climbed a 40-foot mountain. I mean, no matter what you've done, they've done something better. And they never let you get a chance to tell your story because they're so busy telling their story. Those are the kind of people you just can't wait. And then there are people who you just relish being in their presence. I mean, they just make you feel like you something. Even if you know you ain't nothing, it makes you feel like
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Your pastor is that kind of person.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you know. He's a businessman, a tremendous pastor, and all of these things. But when you're around him, unless you ask him, you would know none of those kinds of things.
That's right.
And he builds you up like you something. That's why whenever I feel bad, I just love being around Reverend Stinson. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm something. When I know I ain't nothing. So we're just thankful to call him our friend and to see the Mount Olive Baptist Church continue to doing so well. As he indicated, I'm delighted to have my wife with me of 50 years.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We will be married 50 years.
Amen.
And I wish I could tell you they were all love years, but we've had some ups and downs.
That's right.
But we stayed together.
Amen. Amen.
For 50 years. And it is my plan to take her to Paris. I've been trying to learn some French, so when I get over there, that's our plan. Be in Paris around the 19th or whatever. Lord, bring you us to your mind. Pray for us.
All right.
We'll be over in Paris looking up this country that we can be. So we're going to be over there. Lord's will. us to steer well, we're going to be in Paris.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for Reverend Smith, Reverend Mary S. Smith, Mary Stevenson Smith, who has been with me and tolerated me for 50 years.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for her. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this marvelous day you blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for this rich opportunity of worship. We thank you for the songs of Zion. We thank you for the prayers that have been uttered. And now as we come and confront your holy word, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Yes, God.
Speak, Lord.
Yes, God.
For thy servant heareth.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to call your attention to the passages that claim our attention this morning. There's two of them. One comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the other comes to us from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. I don't know what your custom is. If your custom stands, you can stand. If you come to Bible study, you're already there.
Amen.
Come to Sunday school, you're almost there. If you don't come to either one of them, you need to go to the page of content. That's what it's in there for.
That's right.
Acts chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it reads, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth."
Mm-hmm.
The second passage comes to us from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." From these passages as God gives utterance, I want to preach this morning from the subject, the essential elements for effective spiritual leaders and Christians.
All right.
The essential element for effective spiritual leaders and Christians. You know, there are some things that are essential. In other words, if you're going to make some biscuits,
come on.
You need some flour.
All right.
Contrary to the belief by some young women, they think biscuits come in cans. Biscuits are made with flour.
Yes, sir.
So if you're going to make biscuits, one of the essential elements you need is flour. If you choose to make an apple pie, one thing that is essential is some apples. If you want to make some rabbit stew, one thing is essential. That's a rabbit. So I want to suggest this morning that there are some things, if you're going to be an effective, spiritual, empowered leader, there is, all Christian, there is one thing that is essential.
Yes, sir.
One thing. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead.
Yes, sir.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit is essential to the Christian life, yet it is the least understood.
Come on, preacher.
Many Christians live defeated, unhappy, fruitless, powerless lives because of their lack of understanding of the Holy Spirit. The believers fight about him, and the unbelievers flee him. Why is it so essential? Because it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us, guide us, lead us, assures us of our salvation, delivers us, strengthens us, enlightens us, empowers us, and frees us. Paul says in the Ephesian passage, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." I want to suggest that the essential elements for spiritual leaders and Christians is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit in one's life, they cannot live a spiritual and productive and empowered and fruitful life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the essential ingredient for a spiritual living in this world. I want to suggest to you there are two works of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. First is the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. When we're saved, we take on the acronym of RIBS. RIBS. R-I-B-S. First of all, we are regenerated. And that we are born again. When we accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we are born again. These are four things that happen prior, just as you are being saved. We are born again. Then we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Then we are baptized by the Spirit. And then we are sealed by the Spirit to the day of redemption. So when we first is the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, we are regenerated. We are indwelled, we are baptized by the Spirit, and we are sealed with the Spirit. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." To the Romans he said, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" To be baptized by the Spirit is not an esoteric, meaning select few, experience, but rather it is for all of us.
Yes, sir.
We are all baptized in the Spirit if we are Christians. Baptism of the Spirit is a historical event that happens only one time in the life of the believer. Every Christian, the moment he or she is saved, is baptized by the Spirit in the body of Christ. So that when somebody stand up and say, "I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Spirit," you don't have to see them as something that they think they're more holy than other people, because if you are saved, you are also saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Spirit. If you're not, then you're not saved. So the first work of the Holy Spirit is that we get ribs, regenerated, indwelled, baptized by the Spirit, and sealed by the Spirit. Second work of the Holy Spirit after salvation. The filling of the Spirit means to be directed and empowered by the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is a spiritual state where the Holy Spirit is filling all that he came to do in the heart and life of the believer. To be filled with the Spirit is not a matter of acquiring more Spirit. You have all the Spirit you're going to get at salvation. But rather, it is about the Spirit of God acquiring more of you. In other words, you can't go to 7-Eleven and get a certain amount of Spirit. You already got the Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got all the Spirit you're going to need. But then how much of you are you willing to give to him? This is called the principle of yielding, submitting, and abiding. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." So the filling of the Spirit, unlike the baptism of the Spirit, is a recurring event. In other words, When we first accept Jesus Christ, our first Savior, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And then thereafter, we are filled with the Spirit. And that is an event that occurs more and more and more and more. This group over here is looking at me a little funny. Can I help them just for a moment? You come to church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And you hear a great sermon,
yeah.
And you get all fired up, and then you go to your work on Monday,
yeah.
And you start dealing with people at work,
yeah.
And they chip a little bit of that you got on Sunday, chip a little bit of that you got on
yeah,
Sunday,
yeah.
And chip a little bit of that. You go to 66 or Route 7 or Route 15,
yeah.
Whatever way you travel, and you deal with, like we were coming in a while ago, and this fellow was in front of us, and he must decide to do 15 miles an hour on Route 15, and we were trying to get here, and we were behind him, and I have to continue to remind myself, I'm a preacher, I'm a preacher, I'm a heavenly body.
That's all right.
I'm a
heavenly
body.
Yeah,
I need this. I was filled when I left.
Yeah. All right, all right.
So one of the works of the Spirit is salvation is historical events that happen only once.
Yeah.
And the other work of the Spirit is after salvation is a repeated experience.
Yeah.
In Ephesians 5:8, the Greek word is polysia. Mm-hmm. It means to be filled.
Yeah.
And first, it is a command and not an option.
Yeah.
We are to be filled, the text said. And second, it is plural, indicating mm-hmm. that the command is not for is for all and not just for a few.
Mm-hmm.
We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit because it is impossible to live the Christian life
yeah.
without the filling of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Third, it is a passive tense. Mm-hmm. Paul shows that we cannot fill ourselves; we must let Him
yeah.
fill us.
Yeah.
Finally. It is in the present tense, mm-hmm. Teaching that we are filled is a continuous and repetitive process.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the text is saying, keep on being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
Christian life is dependent upon God for continually filling us.
Yeah.
You can't live today mm-hmm. on yesterday's spiritual power.
Can
I say that one more time?
Yeah.
You can't live a productive, fruitful life today mm-hmm. on yesterday's spiritual power.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the battery. We must be renewed.
Yes,
the battery is connected to an alternator.
Yes.
And the alternator assists in replenishing the power and the electricity in the battery.
Yes.
So it is in the Christian life. Mm-hmm. You can't walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called,
yeah.
as Paul commands us in Ephesians 4, without being filled
yeah.
with
yeah.
the Spirit.
Yeah.
So when you come to church meeting, and somebody else come to church meeting,
yeah. uh-huh.
and they start acting crazy,
yeah.
they want to be against everything that's presented. It's not because they're bad people,
yeah.
it's that they have not been
filled.
You can't live the life that Christ called us to live
yeah.
without being filled
yeah.
with the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And humility, unity, love, wisdom, forgiveness, long-suffering,
yeah.
and such are not part of this life if we're not being filled
That's
with
right.
the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you asked that question. I was going to tell you whether you asked or not.
Yeah.
Because it is difficult. It is different between living God's way
mm-hmm.
and living the world's way.
Right.
In other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will by nature and by design, mm-hmm. live the way the world lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't have to consciously make the decision. The world will just push you into their way of doing things.
Right.
And so in order to live the way Christ would have you to do, you must have the Holy Spirit in you
mm-hmm.
that give you the strength
yeah.
to be able to live the way God
yeah.
has called you to live.
Yeah.
That's why we need the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Second reason why we know the Holy Spirit is because of the enemy of the Christian,
come on.
That the enemy that the Christian faced.
Yeah.
The devil is like a roaring lion,
yes,
seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah.
The devil is always trying to get us
to move away from where God has placed us.
Yeah. Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
And it's really not about you.
Yeah.
But you want to get to God through you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah.
Am I helping anybody?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And so that one of the enemies that we face is the devil. And I hear these people saying it so all the time. Put your foot on the devil's neck and all that kind of crazy stuff. You ain't got enough power to deal with the devil without the Holy Spirit inside of you. You do not have the power to be putting your foot on no devil's neck and all that kind of stuff because you don't have that kind of power. The only way you have power to deal with the devil is when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. It is He who gives you the power to be able to say no, because the devil knows your Achilles heel.
That's right.
He knows what you like.
Yeah,
that's right.
Now for me, He wouldn't bring no women toward me. Because I got one and I'm happy with it.
But
there is something.
Yes, sir.
That gets my attention.
Oh, my God.
And He knows what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when He brings it,
my God,
for me, I would yield.
Uh-huh.
But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me,
yeah,
and I think about who God is in my life,
yeah,
I can then say, yeah, Satan, yeah, get behind me.
Yeah.
So that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit because we can't live God's way in this world without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need to live the world's way.
Yeah.
And then we need to do it because of the enemy that we face. And secondly, this is number three. The reason why we need the Holy Spirit is because we still have Adam's nature in us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Am I helping anybody?
Yeah. Yeah.
When you were saved, the tree was cut down.
Yes, sir.
But the stump is still there.
Come on.
I said the tree was cut down. But the stump was still there. Can I have this food right here? Can I have this food right here? This food right here. You don't believe the stump is still there? Yesterday we went to New York. New York. We're from Georgia. My wife and I from Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia. A little place called Edgewood.
Yeah.
We in New York, and we just looking at all these tall buildings. We just walking around. We went to Motown.
Yeah. All right,
Broadway show in Motown.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and they started playing them songs.
Yeah.
That was the 60s and
70s. Yeah. Yeah.
When I wasn't quite as close to Christ as I am now. And they start playing that music. What did I say? I said the tree is cut down, but the stump is still there. My feet start moving. I know you were born holy. You've always been holy. I'm talking about me. I'm saying the tree is cut down.
Yeah.
But the stump is still there. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because putting that Adam stuff in you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need the Holy Spirit because there's a difference between living God's way and the world way.
Yeah, yeah.
Need the Holy Spirit because of the enemy that we face. That's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Then we know the Holy Spirit because the old nature of Adam is still part of us.
Yeah.
Why are we to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm so glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
You're a questioning bunch this morning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why we need him.
Mm-hmm.
We need him for service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're going to be an empowered, fruitful, effective leader or Christian, you need the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yes.
You cannot serve Christ, be an effective leader, an effective Christian,
yes, sir,
and service for Christ without having the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yeah.
Being filled with the Spirit. That's why we see when I go to churches and they're fighting, usually it's the deacon and the pastor. They're the ones who fight. You know what they fight about? Who's in charge?
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. Who's got all the power? You cannot do God's service without being filled with the Holy Spirit, because when you're dealing with God's people, God's Baptist people, God's people who happen to be Baptists, who happen to be you can't deal with God's people without having being filled with the Spirit. You want to do service for God and you ain't got the Holy Spirit, you in serious trouble. Come to a meeting, ask somebody to volunteer. They won't volunteer. Sister Sue volunteers, and whatever she does, they think it's wrong. But they ain't going to volunteer for nothing. They're going to talk about everything. If you're a leader, you got to deal with those people. And you can't deal with them in your own strength.
That's right.
Read the book of Acts. When they were getting ready to get the deacon, Paul said, go get somebody. One of the characteristics is that they must be what? Filled with the Spirit. When Stephen was being stoned, the text says, and he was filled with the Spirit. When Barnabas decided to share some of his money with people, the text said, and he was filled with the Spirit. In other words, if you're going to do service for the Lord, you must be filled with the Spirit. Secondly, not only should you be filled, but for service, you must be filled for witnessing. For witnessing. We are called to be witnesses for him. The text in 1:8, Jesus told the disciples had been with Jesus, but Jesus told them, you go back and you wait until you've been filled with the Spirit, and then you will be witnesses for me. So you wonder why nobody come to Christ because of your little light? Is because you are not filled with the Spirit. You can't attract nobody with you and your vile self, but when you're filled with the Spirit, then people will come and they'll ask, because of who you are and the way you live your life. Effective witnessing is sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. That sometimes just the way you walk into your office, people are drawn to Christ when you've been filled with the Spirit. And you may not know no scripture. You may not even can't even find Genesis, and they gave you 2 weeks to find it. But because when you've been filled with the Spirit, people would want to be around you. There's something about you when you've been filled with the Spirit. Somebody get on the elevator and say, I know that you must be a church person. You something about you. Well, it ain't about you, but it's about him who's in you. So we need him for witnessing. We need him for witnessing. We need him for witnessing. So we need it. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? We need him for service. Need him for witnessing. And we need him for power. We need it for power. We need power as Christians in our life. And the only way we get it is through being filled with the Spirit. Some of you know I drive about a 7 or 8 year old, maybe about 10 now, Mercedes. Well, 11 years old Mercedes. I drive 11 year old Mercedes. Still clicking, going on about the business. One day I was going down to Richmond, and this BMW. I ain't talking about nobody BMW. I'm just saying. BMW passed me by. Well, your BMW is quite a car. German says the best made car in the world is that BMW. That brother will go look good. It's expensive, and that brother will go from 0 to 60 in a minute. That's what they say. It'd be at 60 miles an hour at that Mercedes. I mean, at the BMW. So he I was out there, you know, my Mercedes. Take me a little while to get my energy up, but once I get it, I'm right. And this brother passed by, zoom! And I just trucked along. Then I walked down, I got down there, and the thing was on the side of the road. Now, BMW,
yes, sir.
The best made car,
look
pretty,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Very expensive,
uh-huh.
But it was on the side of the road.
Yes, sir.
And what I discovered, it ran out of gas. It's expensive,
yes, sir.
Best made car,
yeah.
It ran out of gas.
Oh, Lord.
So you can come to church.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You can pray as you will, but if you ain't got no power, you can get up to 60 miles an hour in a minute if you want to, but if you ain't got no power, you can't change nobody's life.
My God.
You got to have power. Where we get power.
Yeah.
Not because of us.
That's right.
But because of what he gives to us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? We need him for service.
Yeah.
We're going to witness. We need him for witness.
Yeah.
This church will be filled.
Mm-hmm.
If all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because everywhere we go, when we go to Kmart, Walmart, Super Walmart. I love Super Walmart. Super Walmart. Skeets. Wherever we go, getting gas, they want to know what is about you.
Yeah.
Go to Giant. They be the clerk will be asking what's about you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
People be following you
yeah.
to First Mount Zion mm-hmm. when you're filled with the Spirit because your life.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, you talk to somebody, next door neighbor, little deacon, talk to the next door neighbor, he said, I know Brother John. He said, well, he's a deacon. I said, what? that means Deacon John
is
living.
Oh, no.
Ain't talking about nobody, just talking about yourself. You mean telling your neighbor
to
know that you're a Christian?
Oh, God.
I'm almost finished. Why do we need Spirit? We need him for service.
Yes, sir.
We need him for witnessing.
Yeah.
We need him for power.
Yeah.
And we need him for an experience.
Yeah.
The old folks said it like this. I wouldn't have a religion that I couldn't feel sometimes. In other words, our relationship with God is not just intellectual.
All right. Yes, sir.
Our relationship with God ought to make you feel good sometimes.
That's right.
You see, Christian, they never have nothing good to say.
Oh,
everything is always bad.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Well, the God that I serve,
come on.
I can thank him
for
who he is,
yeah.
because if he don't do nothing else in my life, he's already done enough. Down in the country, grandmother be out there washing clothes in the pot. And grandmama started thinking about them bad children that made it through in college. She started thanking God. Pots and pans, everything just goes. She started praising them at the pot. Your simple can't praise God until they get to church.
Come on. Lord.
I can be walking down Johnson and getting my potato chips or whatever and think about how good God is. Ought to be able to have peace in the middle of a storm.
Yes, sir.
When you have the Holy Spirit. It's an experience.
Yeah.
When we think about who he is and what he's done in our life. Okay, I'm almost finished. What are the consequences of being free? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That when we are filled with the Spirit, Paul says, we speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed. I'm amazed by a lot of things. I'm always amazed how people can speak in tongues and can't speak to the person they sit next to.
Oh, no.
I'm just amazed. How you can come in the church and shout and speak in tongues and then go out in the parking lot and won't let nobody out until you get out.
Come on, preacher, come on.
Oh, Lord.
Paul said, the consequence of being filled with the Spirit is speak to yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Mm-hmm. Then it said, in verse 19b, it said, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
In other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, it does not mean we need to be act as if things around us does not concern us. Mm-hmm. It does not mean we want to be as if the world we live in, all the stuff that happened in Iraq and Syria and all of that, and those young girls being stole over there in Africa and all of that. Yes, that bothers me. And when I pray about that.
That's right.
But then when I think that in all of that is in God's hands. All of it is in God's hands. You know, you got some folks who try to make you believe if you hit their finger with a hammer, they're going to say, praise the Lord. No, if you hit my finger with a hammer, I'm going to say, ow, that hurt. But what I'm trying to suggest is that we live in a life that if you live in this world, you're going to have trouble in this world. So if you will never be happy until all your trouble are gone away, you will never be happy. But in spite of my problems, in spite of my bills, in spite of whatever comes in my life, when I know who God is and what He's done in my life, I can still praise Him. I can still sing a song of melody. You talking about a witness in your job where you are, and the men come in, you thought you were going to get promoted, you want to get promoted, you know you did everything else to be promoted, and the sister next to you never come to work, never do anything, always projects are always short. She got promoted, and you didn't.
That's right. That's right.
Now what you going to do? Cuss everybody out, or do you just thank the Lord for a job? Speaking to yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That we ought to learn how to be thankful.
Yes, sir.
The saying is that I used to complain because I didn't have no shoes until I met the fella who didn't have no feet.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You know, God sometimes, He must be a gracious God.
Yeah.
You know, we had a house built, and we had five-bedroom house. Mm-hmm. It's just Mary and I. It's five bedrooms. When I was a little fella, we didn't have one room. Five bedrooms. I'm not being whatever. I'm making a point. I'm not sure what the point is, but I'm trying to make it. Five bedroom house.
Yes, sir.
We watched them build it from the ground up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I was so happy. That the Lord had, we'd owned a house before, but this was the first house we had built from the ground up. Mm-hmm. I watched it every time I got off work. I went over there and watched it going up. Five bedroom house. I was just praising God for a five bedroom house. Mm-hmm. Until next, down the street from us, they built some more houses. Mm-hmm. And that house was bigger than mine. Now, I had more houses than I already need. That's the two of us, just Mary and I. We got five bedrooms.
Yeah.
We can sleep in a room every other day. We can change another room.
Yeah.
But that house was bigger than my house.
Yeah.
And I started feeling sad. I told myself, I talk to myself a lot. I said, Seth, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. God has blessed you with this house.
Yeah.
And now you complaining?
Yeah.
What am I trying to say?
My Lord.
You got up this morning?
My Lord.
Nobody can see you up?
Yeah.
You got up in the middle of the spirit of the greatest place? God allowed you a car to get in? And you got the audacity in there?
Yeah.
To not to be thankful
for
what God has done in your life?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Got your right mind?
Yeah.
it's upon us.
Yes. My God.
And you can't be thankful?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you.
We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
You may not have graduated from the finest university.
Yeah.
You may not have majored in small group dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may be able to recite Robert's Rule of Order.
Yeah.
You may be able to be familiar with Hitchcock's Guide for Churches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You may be an expert in carrying out a motion.
Yeah.
You may be skilled in organizing and planning.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
you can't walk right without the Holy Spirit. You can't talk right without the Holy Spirit. You can't sing right without the Holy Spirit. You can't pray right without the Holy Spirit. You can't love right without the Holy Spirit. You can't preach right without the Holy Spirit. You can't give right. You can't give right. You can't give right without the Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit in our mind, Paul says, be not drunk as excess be wine, but be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, when you're drunk with wine, I know you don't. You never got drunk, but those old bad people who used to get drunk and get high, when you are drunk with wine, you lose self-control.
Yeah.
When you are drunk with the Spirit, you gain self-control. When you're drunk with wine, you do unwise things.
Yeah.
When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do wise things.
Yeah.
When you're drunk with wine, you become ignorant.
Yeah.
When you become drunk with wine, you become wise.
Yeah.
When you're drunk with wine, you get sick.
Yeah.
Your liver, your kidney, your heart.
Yeah.
But when you get drunk with the Spirit,
you
get well and whole.
Yeah.
When you're drunk with the wine, you're never satisfied.
Yeah.
When you're drunk with the Spirit, you are satisfied completely.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to tell you, my brother and sister, that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll put clapping in your heart, love in your heart, clapping in your hands, and running in your feet.
Yeah.
Not only will he put a song on your lips, but he'll put a thanksgiving in your heart.
Yeah.
Will you be filled with the Spirit? You're thankful for what God has done in your life.
Yeah.
Well, you may be not be thankful for what he's done, but he has done a mighty work for us.
Yeah.
At Calvary, Christ died. He was wounded for our transgression.
Yeah.
He was bruised for our iniquity and pierced for our guilt.
Yeah.
Suffered for our shame.
Yeah.
Was tortured for our shortcoming.
Yeah.
Beaten for our wrong.
Yeah.
He was crucified for our sin.
Yeah.
I come to tell you that he died as he did.
Yeah.
He was crucified by one of his own.
My God.
He was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall.
Yeah.
He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity.
Yes,
the pilot declared, I find no fault in this man.
Yes,
but the people cried out the more, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate then gave Jesus over to the soldiers to be crucified.
Yeah.
He was taken to Calvary on a hill far away.
Yeah.
He died. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He died. Yes, he did. Yeah. On Friday, it was happy hour time.
Yeah.
And the devil declared, we got him.
Yeah.
He got old man Jesus.
Yeah.
We've been trying to get him.
Yeah.
And now we've got him.
Yeah.
We got the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
We got the judges, Gideon, Samuel, and Deborah.
Yes,
we got the king, Saul, David, and Solomon.
Yeah.
We got the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel.
Yes,
we got the apostles, Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
We got the disciples, Paul, Timothy, Mark, Luke, Martin Luther King, and Robert Park. And now we got Jesus. We got him, I tell you.
Yeah.
The grave was going to hold him.
Yeah.
And then on a Saturday, the grave, they called out and said, do you still have him? The grave said, we told you we got him. We got the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
We got the judges, Gideon, Samuel, and Deborah.
Got
we got the king, Saul, David, and Solomon.
Yeah.
We got the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel.
Yeah.
We got the apostles, Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
We got the disciples, Paul, Timothy, and Mark. And we got Jesus. But then on the Saturday night, early Sunday morning, we called out again and said, you can still have him. Yes, I told you, you keep wordless. I told you we got him. We got patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We got the judges, Gideon, Samuel, and Deborah. We got the king, Saul, David, and Solomon. We got the prophets, Messiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. We got the apostles, Peter, James, and John. We got the Paul, the disciples, Peter, Paul, Timothy, and Mark. Wait.